Nerd Out, Sundays 2 to 4am Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
The future is uncertain. I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain, as free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion, and as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
Most are afraid of unknown depths, skirting shores thinking world flat. I'm with the Island Girls in celebration of new religion. Nobody led me or said this way. I sailed alone on makeshift raft with wind as companion. Fate for deliverance, confidence enough to assess new disposition. Seekers of lost paradise may seem fools to those who never sought the other worlds. Welcome to Momentary Zen with Zen Garcia. Visit www.fallenangels.tv. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
The greatest wisdom is seeing through appearances. Welcome, friends. I'm your host, Zen Garcia. This is Momentary Zen here on Revolution Radio, and I appreciate all of you taking the time to join us this evening. I was going to do a follow-up broadcast on the prior times, the Dragon Lords, and the rule of the ancient gods, but because of the events that occurred last night, I thought I would invite my son to join me and to speak about what had gone down in Beirut and how there's the story of, you know, supposedly 2,750 pounds of ammonia nitrate being stored there, and shoddily, according to their testimony, that this somehow brought on this blast. But, you know, in my opinion, there are two things clearly going on, and one, fireworks, whatever, initially. And then secondarily, there was a massive explosion that, without a doubt, in my mind, seemed to be nuclear in event, mushroom clouds, the repercussion of the blast, the shockwave going out afterwards. I mean, it reminded me of exactly what you see on Terminator, you know, the Judgment Day. And then whenever you look up early evidences of these test atomic explosions happening in the desert in White Sands and others, you see the same kind of evidence. You see mushroom clouds going up, even the cloud forms that were in the sky somehow are dissipated by the magnitude of the shockwave that goes out in all directions. And this is exactly what you see happening here. And so it's my opinion, again, we are not receiving the fullness of the story, and that there's a lot more going on and a lot more that needs to be examined before confirming or writing off that this was some kind of chemical blast. Justin, are you there, son?
Yes, I am. Shalom, everyone.
Well, tell me what you think about, and as far as looking into and examining it, what kind of things you've seen and how you feel about it.
Well, from the first time that I saw it, I read the articles that explained how it came about and what it, you know, what caused the secondary explosion, and it never added up to me. You know, articles that are coming out now from Israel, they're saying it was like Hiroshima. You know, like there was seismic shock the size of a 4.5 magnitude earthquake. I mean, that's not any normal explosion, for certainly. They even felt it on the island of Cyprus, which I think I read was like 100 miles away or something. It's definitely not what we're being told, but, you know, there's just so much confusion out there. I'm not sure that we would be able to decipher exactly what the true source was or the true motive, but we can examine some of the different options and the modus operandi behind what, you know, could have been the root of this type of bombing. It's just so unfortunate, you know, that so many people were injured and hurt and killed in this explosion. It's terrible that, you know, we as citizens of the, you know, the countries that we were born into or the places that we're working, we're just, you know, victims to these tyrannical powers that have these types of bombs and these types of tactics to hurt and to kill people. But speaking of that one article, or, you know, a few articles that say, quote, "It's like Hiroshima, a terrifying seismic shock from blast devastates Beirut." It's like, just look at what tomorrow is. It's actually the anniversary of the Hiroshima bombing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's just interesting. I'm not claiming to know everything. I just definitely see some holes in the theory of, you know, it coming from a huge stockpile of chemicals. I think they said it was ammonium nitrate. And I read somewhere that actually it's a suggestion that it wasn't a chemical fire when we saw the red fire or the red smoke after the bombing. But just on the picture that I put up on the thumbnail for the show tonight, I mean, you can just Google or search anywhere for before and after shots of that location. It completely destroyed everything around it, you know. I'm not sure what the square mileage is on the actual impact radius, but it left a crater. You know, it just took the land out and extended the sea into the land. It's insane the amount of power that that was in this bomb.
Yeah, there's it's interesting to me that the port was completely wiped out, completely leveled. Lebanon is one of those countries that imports a lot of its consumer goods. And 85% of what it utilizes, and, you know, as far as its trade, all goes through this particular port. And now, you know, I feel for the country and for all of the people that they're going through tremendous devastation. And even before this event, that I had read and heard that economically the currency had depreciated over the last few months, 80%. People are no longer even able to access their money or to withdraw funds, that the government is not even taking care of as far as the electrical grid or the pickup of trash or sewage or the maintenance of water. All these basic rights, I believe, and privileges that, you know, we here in America and other places enjoy without even second thought, that these kind of things are not being maintained in this country. And for them, you know, COVID also, the crisis and the hype and the whole, as far as the pandemic of all that, has really crushed their economy, and a lot of people are suffering there. And then to throw this on top of it, it's just devastating. But the first thing I thought when I saw this last night, real late, is without a doubt that what they are telling us is not the truth of it. And I've learned since 9/11 and examining government-sponsored terror and how there's always these false flag events associated with a lot of things. I mean, just so many things going back even to the Spanish and American War, the sinking of the Lusitania, the World War II, and how the Pearl Harbor was a setup to allow America to enter the war. Things like that, even the Gulf of Tonkin event, which supposedly started the Vietnam War, how the NSA declassified that and said it never even happened, and yet a whole war was started based upon this particular event, and things of that nature, things like that, just shows that what we've been told and what we have been by what we buy into as belief is so far from reality, so far from truth. Even the things of like the Northwood document, for people that don't know, that there was a plan to, in order to attack Cuba, that America brought up a plan that was passed and put forth by the Joint Chiefs of Staff, which are, you know, all of the high-level generals in coming together to make decisions. And they decided that they were going to use false flag events to start a war with Cuba. And a couple of things that they talked about was even destroying the Apollo mission, even though we know they didn't go to the moon, but to shoot them down and to use that as a pretext for, you know, announcing that a terrorist attack had come from Cuba, and that, you know, our country would then, as repercussion, go after them and start this whole war based on, you know, something that they had done from the inside. And this goes back to the 50s. And so, you know, this kind of information, these kind of documents, these kind of plans are on the books. And people here in America and abroad can verify that this is the way that government operates, the way that military, the military-industrial complex, that they will sacrifice and utilize people, even aspects of whether government or military, that they consider them expendable and a necessary means to, if you, you know, sacrifice a few here or there, or even thousands of people, as was done during the events of Pearl Harbor, that this all is justifiable in the larger plot of, you know, supporting their direction and in putting into action the agenda that the New World Order and the shadow government from behind the scenes are trying to conduct. And so we never get the straight up truth. And so looking at this, again, this particular event, something a lot more to it. I know that the assassination of, forget the prime minister, Rafik Hariri, that even back in 2005, this individual was a really good person, and he was well loved by all of the people in Lebanon, and supposedly Hezbollah assassinated him. Nobody knows for sure who assassinated him, but they blew up his vehicle, killed him and a number of other people, and this trial was ongoing and has been since that time. And there was an international tribunal that was at some point very soon, they're saying that they are going to delay it now for 3 days, but that they had come to some kind of verdict and that they were going to release this information. And I'm not saying that this is, you know, a part of what may have happened, but it is interesting that they say that the location of where this bomb and all of this had gone off, that one of the targets possibly was the residence of this individual, and that there was evidence and information that was stored and collected there, which now has conveniently disappeared in the same manner that during 9/11, we had the whole investigation of the money that there's $8 trillion or not trillion, but maybe billions of dollars, $8 billions, something, some huge number that goes missing every year from the Pentagon's budget. And that there was, an investigation into all of that missing money that conveniently on 9/11, one of the buildings, World Trade Center 7, the third building that collapsed in on itself, and even though it was never hit by a plane, that all of that evidence also disappeared, and that that trial was shut down and that nothing ever amounted to their investigation of, you know, that particular missing money as well. And so a lot of things just never add up, and there's always something more to the actual events, the explosion, the destruction, the massive, which just is the effect on the mindset of the people, that, you know, some kind of underlying something of whether it's some kind of investigation or whatever, that conveniently those things disappear in the aftermath of the occurrence of these type of scenarios. And so it's going to be interesting to see what comes out over the next few months, which people might be able to connect to other things and ulterior motives, because the elites always, the New World Order elites always have ulterior motive when performing and conducting these kind of events. And we don't even know how this is going to play out in the grander theme of the Middle East war and the expansion of those wars that have been spoken about, even going back to the events after 9/11 and the invasion of Iraq and Afghanistan, that there were generals that came out and spoke of several other targets, seven different countries that were going to be targeted by the New World Order. And Iran also is one of those. And we don't know how all this is going to play out, but it's certainly not good, especially for the citizens of those people that are living there. And Lebanon just happens to be, there's a great population of Christians living in that country. And supposedly the port area was an upscale Christian community, and it was targeted. And I don't know if, you know, for this reason, but certainly it has affected the community there because of the events of today. But 20 miles or 20 kilometers out, all the windows near and surrounding the blast zone all shattered. And from what I understand, there's not a factory, or there's not a single piece of glass that is made or produced in Lebanon, and all that is imported. And so, you know, the destruction is going to remain just a colossal mess for who knows how long. And, you know, even though we're in the height of summer now, at some point things are going to get cold. And, you know, the economy, the people already being broke. I just don't know how they're going to replace all of that. It's a huge, huge catastrophe. Justin, do you have something you want to add?
Sure, yeah, it's a terrible catastrophe. I mean, the shockwave that you're talking about, that alone, it just gives it off, along with the mushroom cloud that mm-hmm. obviously came about, that this was some type of tactical nuke, a miniature nuclear bomb. And now there are actually videos that are being put out of projectiles that were seen. And actually, they were on film as they entered into the already burning building. And you see, as soon as the projectile enters the building, that's when the blast occurs. And the blast, if you take a still shot right as the blast occurs, I mean, it's a perfect circular, humongous circular explosion. Uh-huh. And, you know, that if a bunch of random things are exploding, you know, you're not going to get a perfect circle. Right. This means, you know, there was a very powerful, I don't know what it was, but bomb that, you know, went off, and that bomb exploded, and all that energy went in all different ways at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And they say, you know, all the different storage containers, what they're saying, I think it was like 2,100 tons of this chemical that they found. I mean, that's a lot. That's like 4 million pounds worth. You know, that's a lot of chemicals, but mm-hmm. for it to all explode at one time and put off right. a perfect circle, that it doesn't make sense to right. me. But I'm curious, you know, because there's certainly a hand behind this, in my opinion. And yes, the earliest report that I had seen from Trump, he was, you know, giving a White House briefing and talking about coronavirus, and then one of the journalists stopped and they said, well, before I ask my question about the coronavirus, I just want to know, what is your opinion on the explosion in Lebanon? And he said basically that, you know, his generals had told yeah. him that it definitely looked like an attack.
Right.
And then today, CNN, of course, they put out their articles that are saying, you know, our Pentagon official sources are saying that it's definitely not an attack. And you're kind of just set like, who are you going to trust? I don't right. know who to trust. I right. definitely don't say I trust Trump, but I definitely don't trust CNN. If anything, whatever right. CNN is telling me, I kind of feel like maybe the opposite is true.
Opposite is true, absolutely.
Right? But
yeah.
And just exploring, you know, one of the options of who it could have been, you know, Israel could be a culprit. There are some sources that say that the IDF was responsible. You know, there are articles that are being pushed out that the IDF, they wanted to attack a weapons cache there for Hezbollah, and they didn't know about the ammonium nitrate that would cause such a humongous explosion. I mean, I don't buy that it was right. ammonium nitrate that yeah, caused the huge yeah. explosion. But anyways, they're saying that the IDF, you know, is basically war criminals now because they caused such a big explosion. Which, you know, it would be interesting if Israel did that. The last article that I had seen pop up about Israel lately, it says Israel moves advanced missile systems to Lebanese border on fears of Hezbollah attack. So, you know, this came right before the bombing occurred. They could have preempted preemptively attacked. I don't know. I'm not placing blame anywhere. I'm not saying that I'm ever going to know the truth of what happened, but it's interesting to think about. But now Israel's sending aid, you know? So it's like, did they attack Lebanon secretly and then, you know, they send aid openly to kind of brush off the guilt and to gain international compassion, you know, for their cause? Breaking Israel News, they just released an article with a headline that reads, Beirut's earth-shattering explosion, a necessity for Messiah's arrival. A quote from the article reads, this is Rabbi Berger speaking, and this had to come now since we are well into the era of the Messiah, and total justice must be enacted for the world to be in the proper condition to receive the Messiah. The rabbi cited the prophet Isaiah, noting that this harsh judgment marked the year of redemption. So, you know, what is the condition that they say the world must be in for the Messiah to return, you know? These are clearly manufactured events, and I just am curious who's behind it. But as far as those conditions for the Messiah to return, who we know is going to be the false Messiah who comes first, we know more and more chaos is going to occur. And, you know, maybe this chaos that's being manufactured will continue to be called judgment or justice, you know, as they prepare, quote unquote, prepare to be the center of the world religion and government, which we know is going to be in Jerusalem. So I'm just looking at things. The rabbi quoted from Isaiah 63, 4 through 5 to justify his thoughts. So I'll just read it real quick, and then you'll quickly notice how far out these people are. It reads, "For I had planned a day of vengeance, and my year of redemption arrived. Then I looked, but there was none to help. I stared, but there was none to aid. So my own arm wrought the triumph, and my own rage was my aid." So, you know, we know that they disregard the true arm of the Most High, which, you know, is mentioned in Isaiah 53 as the lamb that was led to the slaughter in silence, you know, by who the salvation of the world would come about. But these guys, they disregard the truth of prophecy. It just seems like they're quoting these scriptures, or they're taking little verses to kind of justify what they could be doing around the world, you know, manipulating these events and preparing to usher in the Antichrist.
Yes, and yes, according to certain manuscripts, even the Apocalypse of Peter, they bring in or try to usher in what is the false Messiah, who we call Antichrist, and that they rejected, of course, the true Messiah. But there has been, and it has come forth, that Israel even bombed their own embassy in order to, you know, to create more funding for, even like here in America after 9/11, we developed and created the Homeland Security. A lot of money went to those kind of causes, beefing up security and implementing like the NSA, the tracking and tracing, just on supposedly terrorists. But we know that they're tracking, tracing, and recording everything in American citizens, all of, you know, everybody, anybody they want to target, that all of that is conveniently being swept and watched over and utilized now that we're in that era where you're no longer innocent until proven guilty, but guilty until proven innocent. And the Patriot Act and all of that that has gone down, things have changed drastically with the way that you know, the FBI and CIA and all these alphabet groups monitor so-called terrorists. But anyways, so with regard to Israel, and the New World Order, not just Israel as, and I'm talking about the leaders, not, you know, the people. It's the same thing here in America, that the people are generally good, but the leaders are the ones that advanced all of these, as far as the agenda for Satan and the powers that be that rule over what is a spiritual war that, you know, the whole event of 9/11, the start of the war on terrorism and of terrorism that they said would not end in our lifetimes, that all of that has been pushed, and that was a catalyst for what we see now. And for people that don't know, you can look up and read and study an article about 9/11 of how even mini nukes were used at the bottoms in the basement of the towers, and that they also rang or brought what was a seismic earthquake like Richter scale, and that the devastation was also found, and that I forget exactly how much it was on the Richter scale, but they were powerful explosions that also, in similarity to the events of here in Beirut, in Lebanon, that they were clearly monitored and found and shown to be that powerful. I mean, a huge earthquake of that proportion. I mean, and for all of that to be centered there in that area, it's, as you said, the port there is completely leveled. The buildings are destroyed. Cars were flipped upside down and tossed about as if, you know, they were nothing. And this is just from the repercussion, the shockwave of the blast. It's crazy. But I do, like you said, with regard to Trump, I believe that he released or revealed that he has at least seen some intelligence, or that the generals or whoever briefed him, that they also believe that this was some kind of an attack, and that, you know, the whole thing of a chemical, he doesn't believe that either. It doesn't buy into it, and neither do I. And I think that perhaps he might have not was supposed to say anything about that, but he did, and that information came out. And so I see that as a sign and affirmation that, you know, again, there's something more going on to the events. But the real thing about the consideration of what went down last night and thinking about all of these things is that the terrorists, whoever they are, whatever boogeyman, whatever face of terrorism you want to bring forth, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, whoever, because all of them are funded by the New World Order elites, but they are now stepping up the game with regard to false flag events, and they are, in my opinion, utilizing these mini nukes in open plot against whatever people or whatever targets. And that's kind of scary for the populace and the community. Not that I'm not concerned myself, just because it is what it is, and if that's the way that I'm supposed to go, and I'm fine with it. But just the people that survive and the devastation, and then also again, we don't know how they're going to use this event for backlash and for whatever whoever they decided, well, these are the people that, you know, did it or conducted or whatever, how the excuse is going to be used to go after or to target some other people. And hopefully it won't escalate war in the Middle East. But we know that without a doubt that the general said there would be a great escalation, and that even the whole thing with Syria, we see that that Syria is like one of the oldest or the oldest continuously occupied cities in the world, going back thousands and thousands of years. And there was just a few years or even a decade ago or however long it's been now, nobody could fathom that scripture and the prophecy of that Damascus would be a ruinous heap and like a burning wasteland, that could ever come true or be fulfilled. And yet the times that we are living in, this is exactly what it has become. It is destroyed, and that continual destruction is ongoing even now, that there's a war taking place daily there in that particular area. And continuously we see even the prophecy of Zechariah 12 of Jerusalem being a cup of trembling amongst the nations, and how the Zionists and the Palestinians, the terrorist groups of Hamas, which, for people that don't know, Hamas was also funded by the Likud party, which is an Israeli political party, and that they give them money in order to appease the starving and very poor communities in Palestine, and they get the people to support Hamas, which is, you know, a puppet dancing on the string for this Likud political Israeli political party. And they are creating and funding the terrorism that they supposedly are fighting against, in the same way as I revealed a long time ago in a different show, talking about how if you're going to work against the New World Order, you have to do it in a peaceful manner and through peaceful protest, and that the IRA, the Irish Republican Army, that they also learned, and that it had come forth in their examination and study of the terrorism that was going down there in Ireland against the British, that there was an individual called Steak Knife who was a double agent, and he was the leader of the terrorism that was being organized against the British, the military and the police, and yet he was working for and had been planted by them. And so when all of this came out in a court of law, the Irish Republican Army, they turned in all of their arms and went to being a completely political group without, you know, using violence or causing or attacking or cracking down as they had previously upon the police, in a manner where they could then be attacked back and have retribution brought against themselves and their families. And so this is something that, you know, I wish the Palestinian people would learn themselves, that in supporting Hamas and supporting, you know, the terrorism, and even allowing and raising their children to hate Israel and to throw rocks at them, or, you know, on the border, that this is just giving them an excuse to kill and to maintain the destruction and the controlled opposition that is going and that is now fueling a division of, you know, the Muslims and Zionists and Christians across the world, that the facade of this game has now caused division where, you know, so many people are wrapped up in supporting one side or the other. And yet they have no idea, again, that it's Oz behind the mask that is controlling the dialogue and even the debate. And it's unfortunate because, you know, so many people are losing their lives. And it's just because they don't know different or better. And so, you know, the what we see here with the destruction in Lebanon, I mean, it could cause them, you know, people to be hateful and to not understand who to lash out against. Who knows what the repercussions are going to be. But, Justin, were there any other things or insights or articles that you looked at that you wanted to bring forth?
No, nothing else. We just had one more question from a few people in the chat, and we even got a couple emails about that I thought was interesting. They asked, do you think that this might have been an attempt to wake up the beasts that sleep in the Mediterranean Sea? What do you think about that?
Well, I think that, you know, all terrorist events and all terrorist attacks, and that fear and destruction feeds the beast and feeds the beast system. But with regard to, you know, release of the four angels from the river Euphrates or the opening of the bottomless pit, I do think that these events will lead to that, but that this is not something that was specific. Just in my opinion, to bringing out or bringing that about. But, you know, again, nobody really knows for certain.
Yeah, I think that, you know, in Revelation, of course, we know that there will be a star that falls, an angel that falls to the earth that has a key to the bottomless pit, and that, you know, when that occurs, that these beasts would be released. So I don't think that anyone thinks that they could, you know, penetrate down into the dwelling place of the demons and the fallen angels, you know. Maybe they do, but just regarding the beasts that come out of the sea, you know, most of the time when we see the word beast in Revelation, it's actually talking about a world system. So the beast that would come out of the sea, this is a world, like a political system that would come out, a collection of nations that would join together that, you know, across the Mediterranean Sea, you have Turkey, you have Italy, you have Greece, you have all of Europe, you have Northern Africa. So that would be the beast that I would look out for. But regarding Lebanon itself, for me, I believe that they're a part of what would be the end times, the 10 horns that are on the seven-headed beast, and specifically because of Psalm 83, I believe that the 10 nations that are mentioned here are the 10 nations that make up this horn that will unite in the end times and give all of their kingdoms over to the beast. And just to mention who they are, it says, for they have consulted together with one consent. They form a confederacy against you. They're talking against Israel. They say, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. It's the tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites Moab and the Hagrites, Gebal, Ammon, Amalek, Philistia with the inhabitants of Tyre. Assyria also has joined with them, and they have helped the children of Lot, which would be, you know, Jordan. So basically, if you pull up a map or just look up Psalm 83 Confederacy, plenty of people have done a really good job at mapping out these nations. And this is a portion of the beast that, you know, might not be the one that comes out of the sea, but it'll give you kind of a picture of the beast kingdoms. These are actually all nations that are basically ruled by terrorist organizations like Hezbollah and Hamas. So I just think that it's interesting to see how all of these events are playing together and how the different world organizations are pit against one another. You know, of course, right. I believe that there is one ultimate power behind all of the different organizations, which is a satanic power. But it is still interesting to see these different confederacies and how even here it says, you know, come, let us cut Israel off from being a nation that they may be remembered no more. And of course, you know, they all cry to erase Israel off the map, and they don't even put Israel on their map, actually. You know, even the Christian family that we stayed with in Bethlehem, it just says Palestine, of course. You know, it's believed that Israel is, you know, an apartheid state. They're invaders that conquered territory that never belonged to them. And, you know, for the most part, I definitely believe the leaders and the people over there are the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews but are not. But as Israel is definitely a real people as well. And these 10 horns, what's interesting is if you actually go, I think it's Revelation 17. Let me pull it up real quick. It says, it's talking about the woman that was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And, you know, she's on this beast that has 7 heads and 10 horns. But specifically about the 10 horns, it says, "And the 10 horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot and will make her desolate and naked and eat her flesh and burn her with fire." So if you kind of think, what if Israel or you know, the controllers of Jerusalem right now would be the scarlet or the whore that rides on the beast, you know, and these 10 horns, they hate her. They're shooting mortar rounds and rockets into Israel all the time, you know. It's kind of an interesting, just reading precept next to precept and kind of putting those pieces together, it would make sense to me.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And we know that as far as the end game, that it is moving towards all of that with regard to Israel and all the nations that encompass her and that are going to attack her, and that the Antichrist and the beast kingdom, that they will all go after Israel as well. But I want to share a article just to show that other people also believe that there was an RT article that was put out by that says that was an atomic bomb. NBA reporter deletes explosive tweets after claiming devastating blast in Lebanon was nuclear, which, you know, when you, for people that are searching by Google, it's amazing the differences when you search by, for instance, Duck and Go, that particular search engine, or if you search through Google. In searching Google, like Lebanon blast nuclear, if you were to do that, all of the articles that come up on the first 2 pages of a Google search are all articles that deny or that are trying to lead people away from belief in such, or even from considering such thought, and you don't find anything as far as, you know, an article considered that would even bring forth information that might be a possibility on so many. And you have to go pages and pages down to even get something that is contrary to what they want you to buy into or to believe. And the censorship is just so rampant now and so in your face, and it's just so unfortunate. And, you know, for people that are really wanting to look for and to seek out or search out truth, I definitely recommend that you use other search engines than like Google or Bing, because, you know, Bing is controlled by Microsoft, and those two companies, you're definitely not going to find truth, especially if you're searching out coronavirus on, you know, the Bing site. And I mean, that's all controlled and bought and paid for by Bill Gates, and he's certainly not going to allow people to find the truth that, you know, of anything and his involvement with all of that as far as the vaccines. And because we are almost to break, I'm just going to wait actually to bring and to read a little bit of this article. But
I have one more thing to just add.
Okay,
before.
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
Just talking about something that was mentioned in the chat about EMP blast coming. You know, all the cell phones that were recording and everything, they didn't, you know, get affected, which definitely would occur if there was an EMP blast. So
right.
I just wanted to mention some of the research that I had done led me to believe, well, I definitely believe, you know, this is not the same level as, you know, a 13 to 18 megaton or kiloton blast like we see with the atom bombs that were dropped in Japan. Like I mentioned earlier, if it was a nuclear blast, it was definitely a tactical nuclear blast. But the EMP doesn't come from the nuclear blast itself. It actually comes from the shockwave that actually reaches into the Earth's ionosphere and kind of causes a disruption and causes a massive movement of energy. And, you know, whatever happens that in the ionosphere, that's what causes the EMP to kind of rebound and take effect. And that's why, you know, EMP blasts in the upper atmosphere, that's what people say is the most dangerous now, because that's what causes the EMP. Whereas this one was, you know, a smaller blast that was on the actual Earth's terrain, and I don't believe that it would cause an EMP. And secondly, we had a mention that, you know, there's no radiation precautions of people that are, you know, walking around in the blast zone. So that is something that's actually interesting, and that's a good point that you made, Doc Michael. Thank you for sharing that. I'm not sure. You know, I don't have a radiation meter over there. I don't know what's going on. But yeah, if it was a nuclear blast, it was definitely a smaller nuclear blast. But it definitely was a bomb, in my opinion.
Yeah, I fully agree. And yeah, I thought that as well with regard to the radiation, and if there are going to be people that check and, you know, detect and bring that forward with regard to connecting. Because certainly if there is a presence of radiation, it would indicate that, you know, the whole thing of the chemical ammonia, nitrate, all of that is covered up, which, you know, for people that don't know, even the Oklahoma City bombing was said to have been done and pulled off by Timothy McVeigh, and that placing a truck bomb outside of the Oklahoma City bombing that was full of this ammonia nitrate, that's how that building was blown up. But that's not true either. And if you look at and investigate what occurred with the Oklahoma City bombing, you see that there were bombs placed inside of the building in the same manner that we have on the events of 9/11 that brought down the World Trade Centers, that three of those buildings, World Trade Center 1, 2, and 7, that they had bombs placed within them. And that really what occurred was a controlled demolition. And that
absolutely.
Yeah, and these three buildings, I mean, 110 stories of building collapsing in 11 seconds and falling in on its own fingerprint. I mean, that is precision as far as controlled demolition. And you know, we see also that bombs were reported by the firefighters and others, emergency workers, police officers that were there in proximity and that not only heard but felt. There was an individual named Barry, I believe his last name was Jennings, and he also reported about the bombs in World Trade Center 7, and he was killed shortly after making such confession. But anyways, we are at break. We'll be right back for a second hour.
From the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
The future is uncertain, I know this. Death is inevitable, I know this. But one thing is certain, as free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion, and as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at RevolutionRadioFreedomSlips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
All right, welcome back, everybody, for a second hour. I'm your host, Zen Garcia. This is Momentary Zen, and I am joined by my son, Justin James Garcia, and we are talking about the unfortunate events of what occurred last evening and how a lot of times what we receive as official story is without a doubt propaganda and cover-up, and certainly it seems to be the case here as well. And I did notice that in the chat room that individuals that are aware and also recognize the potential of truth coming forth in the immediate first hours of, you know, such an occurrence, that is the time to search for and to get and to find answer. A lot of times, especially if news coverage, like I remember in 9/11, there was a individual, and I believe his name was Jamie, I forget his last name, but he was a news reporter there at the Pentagon, and he basically was speaking about how he could not find a single shrap of what was the supposed, you know, the Boeing 747 that had crashed there, that there was not a single piece of evidence of a so-called airliner having hit the Pentagon or having, struck that part of the eastern side of the Pentagon, that there was no engine, no airplane parts, nothing that you would see in a real crash of a plane that large and that size. And really what we saw was a small hole about 14 feet across that had gone through several rings of steel reinforced concrete there at the Pentagon. And it's crazy also that, you know, that portion of the Pentagon was being worked on several months prior to the events of that day, and that the evidence for the supposed missing money, the Pentagon budget office or whatever, that was conveniently destroyed as well. And so these kind of things, looking at and examining what occurred initially, and the truth a lot of times is brought forth. And it's also interesting that during 9/11, and I would say that, you know, for Lebanon, this is their 9/11 without a doubt, but that the story of, you know, these supposed planes being hijacked and one being brought down in a field in Flight 93 in Pennsylvania, all of that also was completely made up, fabricated. There was no plane there. And that there was, as I had reported early, because I wrote a lot of articles about what had gone down for the Populist Party of America, which was a huge news hub for people that had alternative opinion. And at that time, there was, you know, a lot of people actually still read, and I actually wrote articles during that time. But all of those articles became what is my fifth book, Awakened to the New World Order. But some of that was contained therein. But anyways, there was even articles about how one of the flights, I believe it was 77, or one of those that they said had hit one of the World Trade Centers, that it had landed and released all of its passengers. Even though, you know, again, with regard to the whole thing of these planes hitting the World Trade Centers, I think it's clear that from the helicopter footage of 7 News Live, that something just does not add up with the whole thing of, you know, the claim that it was these aircraft or airplanes, Boeing 747s, that made of plastic and having a plastic nose cone, that somehow they were able to penetrate the outer steel mesh and the wall of what was the World Trade Centers. I mean, it's just physically not possible. And that certainly portions of the aircraft would have collapsed to the ground outside of the building and been found on the streets. There's no way that the planes would have been able to penetrate the steel mesh and then disappear into the interior of those buildings, especially if you know how the World Trade Centers were built. And then the whole thing of, you know, them collapsing in on themselves in 11 seconds, which is free fall speed, is absolutely ludicrous. And then you have the testimonies of a janitor named William Rodriguez, who had worked for the World Trade Centers for over 20 years, and he describes having gone down into and helping people to get out of the elevators, and how he had witnessed and heard bombs going off at the very bottom of the World Trade Center, and that a lot of what was the parking garage had been blown out before the planes hit, or supposedly the planes hit the building. But, you know, these are things that, unless you did not buy the official story and unless you were deeply moved to seek and to find what is alternative truth, these kind of things were not reported, not spoken about, not, you know, they're difficult to find. Even though back then it was a whole lot easier with regard to now the propaganda and also the complexity of the search engines and also the internet, these companies like Google, Microsoft, hiding and using algorithms, and even YouTube, hiding the stories or videos or, you know, the pictures, whatever, that are connected to the true events of what may have happened. All of that is getting pushed down and searched. And often you can't even find it, even with a direct keyword search. When you know exactly what you're looking for, you're still not able to pull up a particular article or a particular piece of evidence or a news story that you had read previously. I mean, things are now to the point where, you know, it takes really a lot of luck to even be able to find again something as far as real evidence and real truth on the internet. We are totally living in the 1984 Orwellian Brave New World, and everything being monitored, tracked, and traced. They only will put forth what they want you to see or what they want you to read or how it is that they want you to interpret a story. And so it's really unfortunate. I just don't know. I mean, it's at some point it's going to be worthless to even use the internet, because, you know, everything's going to be so controlled, it's not even going to be worth anything to, you know, individuals like myself, yourself, that know better. Hopefully, is there going to be an alternative? I mean, we just don't know. But Justin, let me get you to comment, and then I'll move on to this other article.
All right. Yeah, it's really an unfortunate situation that we live in regarding truth. You know, Amos prophesied that in the end times that there would be a famine for truth, and certainly there is. You know, we have a semblance of freedom of press, a semblance of freedom of speech, but it's all being manipulated somehow with all this false news, and you know, everything that we know is truth through observation, through experience. You know, they say science is observable, repeatable facts, right? When we observe facts about vaccines being, you know, very dangerous and having very bad side effects, and we hear, you know, tons of testimonies of people who've been injured by these things, and then you go to your favorite search engine and you search for vaccine injuries and, you know, is the vaccine bad for me and things like that. Of course, the only answer that comes up is the CDC recommendations and how, you know, FDA approves these things, because they have, you know, very strict qualifications for vaccines to get passed, and they would never do you any harm. And the CDC wants the best for everyone. And
right.
They're definitely not for profit. They're, you know, they're for your health, and the government loves you and doesn't want control, you know. Like, you know, we're living in this generation where we should be so enlightened, you know, not spiritually enlightened unless you know the Messiah, of course, but we should just know so much more than we do. And I feel like the reason that we don't is because there are so many lies, and you know, people take pride in those lies. They take pride in their indoctrination. Just like if you were to tell people, you know, it's actually the stars that are rotating over us, and you know, right, we're stationary, you get laughed at. You know, if you question that, you know, DNA isn't the result of random chaos. It's actually more intricate than any software program that's ever been written. And it has, you know, a programmer, the programmer of existence. You know, people kind of look at you like, no, evolution, man. You know, we came from apes. And right, when you question those mainstream thoughts and you question the narrative that everyone has adopted as truth, you raise a lot of anger in individuals. So, you know, as I always say, it's a blessing to be able to have individuals like everyone that's joining us tonight to be able to question that narrative without getting angry. Of course, you know, we've had to block some people from chat because because they come in and they troll. But that's right, that's normal. You know, of course, we're poking at the pride of a lot of people who do take pride in what they've been spoon-fed all their lives. You know, like COVID-19 is the worst thing to ever hit humanity, and we have to take draconian measures and put healthy people on house arrest.
Right,
you know, that's never happened before. You know, you think about quarantine and you think, you know, we put sick people in quarantine, but now we're putting healthy people in quarantine, and the majority of the world is supporting that and standing behind that. You know, there has been a war for our minds and for our thoughts for so long. And here we are. We are the remnant that's left who's really trying to think for ourselves and trying to find truth. And unfortunately, we know Revelation 12:9 is a verse that we pull out pretty often. You know, that old serpent, he's deceived the whole world. Yes. And one of the ways he does that is by putting so many different options for every question that you have. It's like you have a multiple choice question for every single thing that's going on in the entire world. Like, how can we put this picture together? You know, thankfully, if you really want to know the truth of who you are, why you're here, how you got here, that's one thing that you still can find. And that's my faith. You know, the Most High said, when you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me.
Yes.
That's the most important truth that we can come to find. All of these speculations that we can come and share there. I think it's important to be able to question the mainstream narratives, but the truth of the Messiah and our salvation through him, through his sacrifice on the cross, and of the truth of his resurrection, that he's the only one to defeat death on his own accord throughout history. He is the Creator incarnate, and he came to show his love for us, because greater love has no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Yes. And God commended his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Right.
That if we confess with our mouths the Lord Yahusha, who the people in the West call Jesus, and we believe in our hearts that he rose from the dead, we'll be saved. And that's the truth that we definitely stand by. But I'll jump off the mic, and I'll let you finish up with your show and move on to your next segment. So thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. I love you.
Bye.
Bye. All right, everybody. Just a couple more things here, and we'll progress on. But again, this article, the name of it is "That Was an Atomic Bomb, NBA Reporter Deletes Explosive Tweets After Claiming Devastating Blast in Lebanon Was Nuclear." And so, scathing critics on social media have savaged an NBA expert after he denied that a huge explosion in Beirut was from a factory explosion, instead insisting that the vast mushroom cloud from the blast was a result of atomic means. As a shocking video showed a building collapsing in flames under an enormous cloud in the port area of this city, NBA reporter Chris Palmer told his Twitter following of almost 114,000 people that the disaster was not the fireworks explosion that had been suggested by some Lebanese media outlets. And I couldn't further agree. I mean, just looking at the incredible destruction and the many angles of it, you know, the mushroom cloud, the shock wave, the repercussion blast that goes out, you know, a few seconds after the explosion. This, you know, those are characteristics of something a lot more. And yet people will deny what they see and what they experience in order to buy the propaganda. Just as, you know, Justin was talking about how the Book of Enoch tells us that the sun and the moon and the stars and the luminaries all move in circle around and above the earth in the face of the sky, as we see over the time-lapse photography of the movements of the luminaries over the course of an evening, exactly what you see. The planets don't move in circle around the sun, as the heliocentric model declares, but they move in circle around Polaris, as the Book of Enoch declares. And yet, you know, again, people do not trust their eyes, they do not trust their senses, they believe the propaganda of what is established as reality for them. And they buy into what they conceptualize in their minds rather than what they see with their own eyes, even especially when it's contrary and it brings forth evidence of, you know, alternative perspective and something that they should consider otherwise. But, you know, again, most people are controlled, and the realities that they buy into and believe in are built upon propaganda and lies, and they have nothing to do with the reality of what is. Just, you know, go out and try to find curvature. Does not exist. The earth cannot be round, is not spherical. And yet, you know, everybody's been to the beach, everybody's seen the sunset on the water. you'll see a pillar of light from where the sun is setting in the ocean all the way to your eyes. And yet, where's curvature, you know, that supposedly is between you and where the sun is disappearing over the horizon? I mean, it doesn't exist. And oceans do not take on a round form. Water has to settle in a level, what's called sea level. But anyways, let's continue on. Viewers have suggested that fireworks had been visible as the explosion happened, while Lebanon National News Agency reported a fire had caused the catastrophe at an explosives depot. Good Lord, responded Palmer, jumping to an interpretation that baffled many on social media. Lebanese media says it was a fireworks factory. No, that was a mushroom cloud. That's atomic. He added a follow-up tweet doubling down on his theory, insisting there was no question it was an atomic bomb. The mushroom cloud forms outside of the factory. There is no question that was an atomic bomb. That is a controlled detonation. If every firework went off at the same time, it wouldn't do that. A fireworks factory exploding wouldn't blow out windows 10 miles away. Fully, fully agree. Continuing. I just read that part. Then, you know, of course, he gets criticism. Anybody that goes against the official story receives criticism, as I will, and as I'm sure those of you that also think in similarity will. Just some of the responses to him. No, it's not. And saying this falsehood to such a large follower base is dangerous. Somebody calls him, you know, basically an ignoramus, just in other words. But that's the kind of response you get from people that, you know, buy into and believe everything that is asserted and affirmed by mainstream media and the official story. Even, you know, the fact that Trump described and said that it was an attack and that his generals had told him so. You know, I absolutely believe that this is the case. Because, again, you do not get a shockwave like that in a mushroom cloud off of fireworks or even ammonia nitrate. And, you know, this ammonia nitrate supposedly had been stored there 6 years without any kind of, you know, problem. And all of a sudden now, you know, they're blaming it for having caused this, again, which looks clearly like some kind of tactical mini nuke. And again, compare it to what you see of the weapons that are used and dropped in White Sands, New Mexico. Compare the evidence of those explosions to what you see here. And tell me that there's no similarity. I mean, come on. All right, so anyways, continuing. Media figures and readers familiar with Palmer's reputation for left-field tweets swiftly derided his conclusion and corrected him on the nature of mushroom clouds, which a cursory check would have revealed can be caused by a wide range of detonations. Saying this falsehood to such a large follower base is dangerous, pointed out one. You know, again, and this guy, he did backtrack and he deleted these tweets. It just shows you, you know, how most people are not willing to stand for the truth. But others argue that a nuclear explosion, you know, like myself, I do believe that something, there's something more to what is being related. But this particular, the rest of the article, of course, is basically attacking the individual. And he did remove his opinion and took it down. And this is exactly what they want you to do. They want you to backtrack. Because in doing so, you basically look the fool. This was the same thing that they did to Kyrie Irving when you know, he claimed that the Earth was not a globe and that he had learned without a doubt that the Earth has no curvature, which is something that anybody can easily affirm and prove for yourself. As I brought forth and testified in a court of law here in Barrow County in the magistrate court, basically standing with and stating over and over that there is no curvature, and anybody anywhere can easily go and confirm that as fact for themselves. And so no matter what you think about the shape of the Earth, if there is no curvature, if there is no rotundity, it cannot be round or spherical. And that's just a fact. And then the other thing is that water will never assume a round form. It can't. The dynamics of it is that it is impossible. Water will always seek the lowest point, and if it's not contained, it will leak out. It will dribble out, drip out. Until finding the lowest point, it will pull together there and create you know, a pond, a lake, an ocean even. And so those are things you cannot deny. I'll bring forth one other article. And this, again, has to do with 9/11 and about the nukes that were used in that particular event. You can find this under an article called "Many Nukes Caused the 9/11 Devastation." Which, you know, I was going to pick up with doing the rest of the show on the prior times, but I just see no point with only 20 minutes remaining, so I'll just share this article with you. There are only two events known to cause ground-hugging pyroclastic flows: a volcanic eruption and a thermonuclear detonation. On the morning of September 11, 2001, we were told a fairy tale that wide-body jets flew into the Twin Towers and completely destroyed them. Let me repeat that passenger planes, large hollow aluminum, hold on just a second. I'm going to sip some water. I'll be right back, everyone. Just 2 minutes. All right. Sorry about that, everybody. All right. Let's see if I can make it through this article. On the morning of September 11, 2001, we were told a fairy tale that wide-body jets flew into the Twin Towers and completely destroyed them. Let me repeat that passenger planes, large hollow aluminum tubes, flew into industrial steel, marble, and concrete skyscrapers and caused them to turn into a pile of dust. And the worst part about this fairy tale is that we, the American people, believed it. And now, 9 years later, it's time to wake up from your slumber and to take a good hard look at what did and did not happen on that fateful day. The conventional explanation we were provided by government and media for a top-down, highly destructive gravitational collapse in near freefall times is physically impossible and is thus about as worthy of discussion as is the belief. This is so funny. He actually writes, as is the belief that the earth is flat, which, unbeknownst to him, is actually true. That's pretty funny. Fiction. Passenger jets flew into the Twin Towers and the burning jet fuel caused them to collapse. Fact. The Twin Towers did not collapse. They suffered a mid-air pulverization due to an extreme unconventional energy source that caused the initial upward trajectory of so much of the tower's mass during the collapses, as supposedly only gravity was pulling them down. Fiction, the burning jet fuel melted all of the steel beams, causing the buildings to collapse directly onto their own footprint. Fact, 80% of each of the tower's 50 million ton mass never hit the ground. The steel did not melt, that turned into nanodust, pulverization, molecular disassociation, and ground zero evidence when matter is elevated to temperatures hotter than the surface of the sun, molecular disassociation results. Molecular disassociation is easy to understand once we realize that there are four states of matter, solid, liquid, gas, and plasma. Just as ice has trouble surviving in water or steam, molecules have trouble surviving in plasma, which is highly energetic and extremely hot. When molecules dissociate, they leave behind loose atoms and fragments of molecules. Now, let me just state that there's a Dr. Judy Woods who put out a book on how the towers collapsed. And she brings forth in that book how directed energy weapons were used as part of the attacks of that day. Now, and I'm no expert on directed energy weapons, but it is interesting that what we see of evidence is that, you know, some of these fire trucks and police cars, that half of them are melted, and you see that even the, you know, that things like the wheels, the rims, are melted and the rubber is completely burnt off, in similarity to what we see in some of the fires that are taking place out there in California, that you see weird anomalies like, you know, entire structures, houses demolished, and yet the greenery of grass and trees and things of that nature surrounding them, or wood or plastic frames being completely untouched and unburnt, that we see evidence of this kind of thing happening on 9/11, which is, you know, again, very strange, but just shows that there's more going on than we are told. And some say that the whole thing of the Tesla death ray is linked to what could be the evidence of these kind of happenings, as far as, you know, vehicles burning, and how it is that, you know, plastic or things of that nature, even paper sometimes will not burn or is not destroyed, and yet you see the steel or metals being melted, rubber being disintegrated in some manner, as far as the tires from the steel getting so hot that they burst into flames, that other portions of rubberized material not having anything occur to it. Let me continue. And you don't see the pictures, but I'll post the article in the chat room real quick for those of you that may want to examine what I'm talking about. Because again, when you look at, and 9/11 was a catalyst for so much awakening for so many of us, that the official story could not possibly have occurred in the manner that the government claims. So you can see, and I'll post a link in the description of this show so that people know what I'm talking about as well. Go and read this for yourself. So what do these two pictures have in common? They both represent a highly unconventional destruction and a release of energy with temperatures much hotter than that of the sun. So once we confirm evidence of widespread molecular dissociation having occurred at Ground Zero in New York City, we have a very strong indication that only exotic, unconventional weaponry could have released that much extremely, unimaginably high-intensity energy, which suddenly appeared just as the towers disintegrated from top to bottom. This understanding then means that we cannot blame the highly unconventional Ground Zero devastation on thermite or thermate, super thermate, and controlled demolition any more than we can blame it on jet fuel or box cutters. Now, we know, okay, even though this individual is speaking about directed energy weapons, there were, without a doubt, bombs placed into the building. And the testimonies of the 9/11 firefighters, which those tapes have been released, and listening to them, you hear that once they arrive, I believe it was like the 70th story or something of that nature, they talk about how they can knock out these fires with two lines. And then all of a sudden, it's shortly thereafter that the towers come crashing down upon them. And God bless the souls of all those that lost their lives in these buildings. I mean, never before in the history of fire has a steel reinforced concrete structure lost its integrity due to supposed burning jet fuel or to fire at any extreme temperature. And what we witnessed of the events of 9/11 is that the North Tower being hit first, it was the first one to collapse. Not that, even burning all day and all night like we see in some of the other fires, like the Venezuela hotel, that there have been other fires where the structure completely inflamed still did not collapse and did not, the steel does not melt. It doesn't get hot enough to just melt and pull away and pancake in the manner that supposedly had occurred on 9/11. And so even in the firefighters themselves declared and stated, the architectures for 9/11, engineers for 9/11. There's so many groups that have now come out. And if you're not familiar with what I'm talking about, you should probably do a little bit of research. There's so much evidence that the official story is completely contrived and ludicrous to even believe. You know, that the individuals that believe the official story, those are the ones that are literally, you know, flew over the cuckoo's nest. All right. In a pancake collapse, the rubble piles should be at least 1/8 of the original building's height, or 12.5%. The actual rubble pile was no more than 2% of the original building height, and both towers went poof. Now, it is interesting that, you know, if you have a fire, which the burning and the melting of the steel is what causes the destruction, and the loss of the integrity of the steel, that at least the buildings would have came down in, certainly not as fast as 11 seconds. I mean, that's literally physically impossible, unless there was some controlled demolition aspect to the event of that day. And especially considering that World Trade Center 7 went down as well, when it had not been hit by any plane. It lets you know that, you know, again, something more to the official story. And so where did these 110-story tall 50 million ton skyscrapers go? They were turned into nano dust, and 80% of the dust floated off into the atmosphere. And we did, you know, those watching witnessed this. We saw how all of the concrete was pulverized and the steel was segmented. It was cut into perfect beams for carrying away. And conveniently, you know, Giuliani, the September criminal, he allowed for the evidence and the crime scene to be dismantled and carried out and carried away immediately without any investigation having been performed. And there were so many things that occurred on that day which don't make sense. Like, for instance, people don't know and have not heard about that there was an entire dump truck full of precious metals that had been looted from one of the banks there, that this particular bank had been entrusted by people all over the world with storing their precious metals. And under the guise of 9/11 and the events of that day, that bank and those storage vaults were looted. And they actually found a dump truck full of these precious metals abandoned in a tunnel in, you know, a few miles away from the World Trade Center. But evidence that criminality had taken the place under the cover of these events. And, you know, a lot of that was never recovered, and it was never explained how it ended up disappearing. And so, you know, again, foresight, even the fact that there were puts, for those that know about stocks, options, that there were puts, bets, placed upon the stock market price of airlines collapsing and other, you know, industries that were connected to and that would be devastated by the events of that day, that these things, millions of dollars of, you know, stock price manipulation occurring, and yet most people never hear about these kind of things as well. All right. I'll just read a little bit more. And again, you have to look at the evidence and the pictures that were taken, which show that something weird happened on that day. Now that we've scientifically proven that only exotic, unconventional weaponry could have released that much extremely unimaginably high-intensity energy to cause the pulverization and molecular dissociation of these buildings, let's look at some of the other unexplainable anomalies. All of these cars have unexplainable similar damage. The paint is gone, instant rusting, and all of their door handles and engine blocks are missing. A squad car on FDR Drive with wilted doors, burned paint, and instant rust. No door handles or engine blocks. And this is, you know, half of the police car is ignited. The other half is, you know, fine. Strange fires appear to be attracted to the engine blocks, while the gas tanks and nearby paper are not affected. Buildings a few blocks away had mysterious holes in the windows, and the front marble facade is completely gone, but no other damage. Why doesn't the paper burn? That's a good question. For months, we witnessed trucks coming and going from Crown Zero, and the media told us they were hauling away the steel. What steel? There was very little steel left in the rubble because it had been pulverized into nano dust. So what were these trucks really hauling back and forth? Dirt? They hauled in dirt, spread it all over Ground Zero, then scooped it up and hauled it away. And this went on for years. Didn't they do that at Chernobyl? Well, yes, they did. So now you know what didn't cause the buildings to vanish. Planes, jet fuel, and thermite are irrelevant. So, what kind of unconventional energy could have caused the Twin Towers to turn to dust? A fissionless fusion thermonuclear event? Directed energy weapons? HARP? A scaled-up weaponized version of the Hutchison effect, whatever that is? The investigation continues. In the next portion of this article, it is proven 9/11 nukes and the U.S. government involvement. I'll try to share some of this before we get to break. The current irrefutable conclusion, treason, murder, and crimes against humanity for 9/11, the Iraq War, the revocation of constitutional rights of U.S. citizens, all U.S. representatives, appropriate U.S. citizens, and non-citizens need to be on trial in constitutional courts. Now, I fully agree with that. The current basic proven 9/11 nuke evidence, about 95 to 98% of the total evidence covered, all proven basic physics, chemistry. Any high school graduate should understand after basic courses. Number one, three massive World Trade Center craters. See U.S. government LIDAR proof. Nothing else known to man can leave all the World Trade Center debris and this particular evidence in the length of time needed, except a third-generation micro-nuke, mini-nuke. It's 100% classic textbook nuclear event residue, zero anomalies. Number two, 5 acres, 1.2 billion pounds, the weight of residue of three World Trade Center buildings, World Trade Center 1, 2, and 6, of World Trade Center land brought to searing temperatures in a few hours by an anaerobic chlorine-fueled fire. Impossible by basic laws of physics. See U.S. government thermal images. Proof. Nothing else known to man can leave all the World Trade Center debris in this particular evidence in the length of time needed, except a third-generation micro-nuke, mini-nuke. Nuke, it's 100% classic textbook nuclear event residue. Number three. Tritium levels 55 times normal background levels assessed a numerical value of traces and of no human concern. Some of this is repeated, so I'll just skip. An impossible fire combustion process. Number five, 3 billion pounds of building instantly turned into 2 billion pounds of micronized dust. Number six, 16-inch steel spires that withstood 1.5 billion pounds of building falling on them and suddenly turn into limp noodles and partially vaporized. Number seven, Hiroshima effect cancers in responders and locals, which is ongoing. God bless all the responders that suffered and are still suffering from responding to the events of that day. All of the above are facts and are proven with reference links of reputable data sources. Many are from the government itself and more. Many nukes were used on 9/11. Article by Henry Mackow. Quick update. Many nukes at the World Trade Center, 9/11, the Fetzer Award, conversations on many nukes in and on and around World Trade Center, 9/11. Eventually, we get to the World Trade Center, thermite, BS, S. Jones, micro nukes, mini nukes in the World Trade Center, truck bombs, craters, mini nukes, the history of mini nukes, needed to cover for nukes and nukes to remove the demo evidence. Why? Because 5 nukes needed to fit all the evidence. When 20 equals normal, how does 1,992 traces? Listen, do you want to know a secret? Cancers explained. Tritium explained. Half-life, 10 days. Craters explained. And 1 billion pounds, coincidentally, the approximate mass of residue of the 3 buildings, basic physics, heat transfer, and residual heat of dirt, 1,800 degrees minimal. Now, for those that don't know, and I know we're getting down to the last bit, but at the bottoms of the World Trade Centers, once they had removed and dug in and went into the basement, they found pools of liquid, molten steel, so hot that it was evidence of something that had taken place and something that had been used. And again, it's my belief that there were many nukes placed into the bottoms of the World Trade Center and that these things were used to cut the huge steel girders that supported the infrastructure of the 110-story tower that rose in length above it. That they had to use these bombs in order to cut the craters, to cut the supports, and to allow for the building to crater in on in itself. And, you know, so much, again, 3 buildings going down, 2 supposedly hit by planes, not that the planes were responsible for them collapsing in on themselves. More to the story, and I'm sure that as the days go by, as the weeks go by, there's going to be more to what happened in Lebanon that's going to come forth, and that many people, I'm sure, are examining, looking into it. And, people are wiser now. There's so many that have woken up to government-sponsored terror and, the support and the funding of the terrorists. And unfortunately, it's the governments of the world working against their people that have perpetuated the occurrence of such events. It's unfortunate, it's tragic, but it's something that all of you need to be woken up to. Because again, my people are killed for lack of knowledge. And certainly that's going on in this day and age. No matter what, in the coming weeks, days, months, don't take the corona vaccine. Don't buy into the hype. Don't get in line. And certainly don't help them in destroying your health and what could be your well-being. These are serious times, people. Let's pray. And God bless all of you. Thank you for listening. And pray for the people in Lebanon and all those that are going to be directly affected by these tragic events, because that country's in trouble, and the people that are living there, if they don't have a way to get out and nowhere to go, it's going to be a lot of suffering. So let's pray for them. God bless all. Good night.
Oscar's freeze. That's your cerebral cortex looking for an answer it doesn't have.
See? Even your brain knows you're screwed.
The pad is filling with adrenaline right now. Whether you know it or not. Your heart's beating fast. It's getting a little harder to breathe. The neurobiological system is telling it to run. But your knees are too weak to move.
Fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity. Do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story.
Listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. 100% listener supported radio. Reporting the danger. Unafraid. Right here, where information never sleeps. Revolution. Revolution. Radio.
To act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at the